Well, good evening. Wasn't sure how many would make it tonight. Jeff and I were wondering. But in fact, we went over to Sam and Leslie's and they said, oh, I'm sorry, the meetings are canceled. It's too much snow. And Jeff and I, we kind of believed it. We kind of believed it because that's what would happen. That would happen in Florida. We had a fifth of this. We'd be canceling everything. The whole city would shut down. But you guys are hardy folks up here, and this is nothing at all. And so it's great to be here and start up our, let's see if it's working. Okay, well, we're in our third night, and it's been wonderful so far. I've enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed being able to minister the Word of God, enjoyed hearing the local brothers. Very good, very encouraging, and good teaching. Of course, good to hear our brother Jeff. And we are going to look at the subject of the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. And as we, as you go through the subject and the verses we looked at last night, you probably noticed that in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Philippians 3, in 1 Corinthians 15, did I say that already? In four of the passages we looked at, they all speak about the resurrection body, the transformation of the resurrection body. And so we're going to look at that tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to think about this subject together. Tonight. Now, I want to clarify something. I just want to mention it. Last night, as we began to speak about the resurrection body, those who had died, I want to just reaffirm and just mention that when a person dies, absent from the body, present with the Lord, when a person dies, that their soul and spirit go immediately to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the rapture, the Lord brings those soul and spirit, they're reunited with the body, and the resurrection takes place, and in that body, they're taken to heaven. And when you say, and tonight, and when we speak of the body, when we speak of those that slept, it's not the soul, spirit, and body that slept, it's those that are in the grave. Their bodies are sleeping. Tonight, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15. There, the reference is the body is sown and will rise again. And so, just to clarify, those who die absent from the body, immediately they're present with the Lord, and then the resurrection takes place sometime after that. Luke chapter 24, let's read a few verses from the beginning of this chapter. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they come into the sepulcher, bringing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and lo, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. And they told these things unto the apostles. And the word seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and he ran to the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and they departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. In chapter 24, we have the great passage about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and we have the appearing of the Lord Jesus to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the appearing of the Lord Jesus to Thomas, or to those that were in a room, and they were frightened when they saw the Lord Jesus, and then later on he appears to, we believe, 500 before his ascension in Acts chapter 1. But we have five open things in this chapter. We have the open tomb, verses 1 through 12. We have open eyes. It's mentioned, that term especially are mentioned. Verse 16 says, their eyes were holden that could not recognize him. And then later on, it says in verse 31, their eyes were opened. It says in verse 32, the scriptures were opened. It says later on that their understanding was opened. And then we see the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the heavens are opened. And we see here in the first 12 verses, we see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is giving hope to the believers. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If all that we have to live for is in this world, the things of this world, the joys of this world, then we are of all men most miserable. But we have much more to look forward to, and we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is mentioned 40 times in the New Testament. It's mentioned 10 times in the book of Acts. It's introduced in the Gospels. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. It's preached by the apostles. It's explained in the epistles. And then we find out in the epistles, we find that our resurrection is like unto the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. We look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies that might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We want to think about that. If that's the pattern, the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus, if that's the pattern that we should expect, then what do we know about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus? So we're going to look at 15 items that speak about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. And many of these you're aware of, they're simple things, but just to get an idea of the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. It was a body that was missing from the tomb. It was a body that could be seen. It was a body that could speak. It's a body that had hands and feet. It was a body that could stand. A body that could walk. A body that could breathe. A body that could prepare a meal. A body that had flesh and bones. A body that could be touched and held and handled. A body that could eat. As a body that still had the wounds or scars from his crucifixion on his hands and his side. As a body that could vanish out of sight. As a body that could pass through a sealed and secure tomb and through the locked doors. As a body that could go up into heaven. So we see some things about what the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus was like. And our body is going to be like that body. And we want to spend some time thinking about this resurrection body of the Lord Jesus and our resurrection body. Why do we need a resurrection body? Why can't we just use these bodies? What's wrong with these bodies? And the Lord is going to give us totally new bodies. How shall we ever serve the Lord for all eternity with these old bodies? And shall we reign over cities and rule and be co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ with these old bodies? And shall we ever enjoy the intimacy with the eternal God, with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all eternity with these old bodies and these limitations of these old bodies and these failing aspects of these old bodies? We will need new bodies without limitations to serve and to love and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. So let's think a little bit about, we talked about this last night, we get the new body at the resurrection, at the rapture of the church, when the Lord Jesus comes to rapture us from this earth. Those who are alive, those who are dead, our souls and spirits will be reunited with our bodies, and with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. And so that's when we receive our new bodies. Let's think a little bit about what we can learn about these bodies. When do we receive our new bodies? Do we all receive our bodies at the same time? I had a conversation last night with someone about when do different people in Scripture receive our resurrection bodies? Church saints, I don't know how clear it is, the first column, they receive their bodies at the rapture of the church. But Old Testament saints and tribulation saints receive their bodies at a different time. Let's turn, we looked at the verse last night, but let's turn to it again. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5. So we see in verse 4, the beginning of verse 4, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And this is the church. They're already in heaven. They're already seated on thrones. They already have their crowns and their garments and their resurrection bodies. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Then he speaks about tribulation saints and probably Old Testament saints as well. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they lived. So they were resurrected, and they lived, and they received new bodies. And then it says also, they reigned. They will reign. They will have responsibility. And it says they will reign with Christ 1,000 years. If you remember our chart, at the end of the tribulation period, there's a period of 1,000 years, the millennium or the kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus. They will be resurrected before that, right before that time, and they will rule and reign with the church saints and with the Lord Jesus Christ, who will reign out of Jerusalem, and they will also reign for 1,000 years. There should be brackets around the phrase, but the rest of the dead, this is the unbelieving dead, the rest of the dead live not again, were not resurrected again until these years were finished. And then they will be resurrected, and they'll stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. And they may receive bodies at that time. We're not 100% clear, but they may receive bodies. They'll stand before the throne, the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast in the lake of fire. So we see it says they were not raised again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the unbelievers. But that bracket is there because the phrase, this is the first resurrection, doesn't apply to the unbelievers. If you don't have that bracket, you would think that applies to those unbelieving dead. But it applies to the tribulation saints, and it applies to the believers, the church saints, in the first part of... And he says there that this is the first resurrection. This is important because the next verse, verse 6, says this, blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. That's the part we have. That's the part that the tribulation saints have. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But it speaks more about what we'll be doing in heaven and how we'll be serving and living for the Lord. And he says, and they shall be priests unto God, priests of God and of Christ, and we shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So we see the different times will there'll be the resurrection, and different ones will get their bodies at different times. The church saints, the tribulation saints in Israel, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, speaks also about when Israel will receive their resurrection bodies, and it coincides what we've just read here in Revelation chapter 20. So we see the different times when they receive their resurrection bodies, but we want to think about some general truths, five general truths about the resurrection bodies of the church, of believers. And So let's look a little bit at some of these. Number one, we'll have bodies like the Lord Jesus. We've talked about that already. We will have bodies that others will recognize. We will have bodies that have extra-dimensional qualities. We'll have bodies that cannot experience pain and tears, and we have bodies that cannot die. Let's look at some passages that talk about these things. Number one, we'll have bodies fashioned like the body of the Lord Jesus. We talked and quoted some of these verses already. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49 is another verse we haven't talked about. And it says, if we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. And that is the image of the Lord Jesus, his body that he had in the resurrection. We look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies. These old bodies will be changed. And we'll be fashioned like his glorious body. 1 John 3:2, we know that when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We see these number of verses that say we will have a body like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that. These old bodies that are susceptible to disease and age, sometimes as we get older and we say, you know, my eyes aren't what they were before, I went to the doctor, the eye doctor, and he said, you've got the beginning of macular degeneration. You know, our bodies begin to, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have eye doctors. We're not going to have dentists. We're not going to have surgeons. We're not going to have hospitals. We're not going to have doctor's offices. We're not going to have any of those things because our bodies will not age, will not get old, will not get sick. And we look forward to that day. We'll have bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have bodies that are real and physical and recognizable. Let's look at a passage. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 21. There are a number of times, there's two places I can think of, there may be another, two places where when believers saw the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body, they didn't recognize him. And some people will say, well, we're not going to recognize each other. We're not going to be able to recognize the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. Believers weren't able to recognize the body of the Lord Jesus. The first was in the garden, when Mary came into the garden. She says, I suppose he was the gardener. And then when the Lord spoke to her, she says, Rabboni. She recognized his voice, but she didn't recognize his body. And some will say, well, we can't recognize each other in heaven, and they couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus. We find in Luke chapter 24 that for some reason, the disciples' eyes on the road to Emmaus, they were, King James says, beholden. They couldn't see him, couldn't recognize him. They walked with him and talked with him. They say to the Lord Jesus, as they begin to say, don't you know what has happened in these last days in Jerusalem? And the Lord Jesus, with a bit of a sense of humor, he says, what things? What things are you talking about? I couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus in all those conversations. But then in the breaking of the bread, as he broke the bread to them, they recognized the Lord Jesus, and their eyes were opened, it says, and they recognized him. But you come to this passage in John chapter 21, and we find they could recognize the Lord Jesus. They are out fishing, the disciples and Peter and John, and the Lord Jesus comes, and he makes a fish dinner. So he makes breakfast of fish. I've never had fish for breakfast. I'm not sure about you, but he made fish for breakfast. And the disciples were in the boat, and the Lord calls out to the disciples, and he says in verse 12, come and dine. And then it says this, none of them said, who art thou, Lord? Knowing that it was the Lord. And it says, and Jesus comes and takes the fish and gives it to them, And that was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he had rose from the dead. So they recognized the Lord Jesus. He will have a body that we can recognize, and we'll recognize one another. I'll recognize my father and my mother in heaven, and loved ones, and a sister that I've had that passed away. You'll recognize loved ones. You'll recognize others. We may recognize even those who are figures from the Old Testament and the New Testament. We may recognize in the Transfiguration, the disciples recognized Moses and Elijah. I don't know how they recognized them, but they recognized them. We may recognize believers from the Old Testament, believers from the New Testament. We'll have some kind of fellowship in that fashion. And it'd be a wonderful thing to recognize all those different ones, not just the ones you know, not just the ones you love, but other believers from past generations will recognize one another with our new bodies. There is a wonderful preacher that was a great evangelist in Jamaica. I don't know if anyone have ever heard of him. His name was Harold Wildish. And Harold Wildish was a tremendous evangelist. I think he established numerous assemblies. Hundreds came to Christ through his preaching. And he was a wonderful, creative preacher. And he would tell a story about being in heaven and recognizing others in heaven. He says, I can just imagine being in heaven, skipping along the pathways of heaven, and there in the distance I see someone coming. And we get closer and closer, and I look at him. And it's Obadiah, the Old Testament prophet. And I recognize him, and he recognized me, and he says, Harold. And I say, Obadiah, greetings. He says, but I have a terror that overcomes me. As I see Obadiah, I wonder what we'll say, what we'll talk about. He says, I think one of the first things he's going to say to me as we greet together, he's going to say, did you read my book? Did you read my book? And I'm going to say, yes, I read your book, but there's a second terror that overcomes me, he would say, and it's this. He'll say, what did you get out of it? And that's when I have my problem. Can you imagine that? We'll be seeing Zechariah and Obadiah and Nahum and all these great figures and all these great men of the Old Testament, the sons of Zeruah. We'll see these men, and they'll say, do you know much about me? Do you know anything about me? And sometimes we'll have to say, no, I don't. I don't know that much about it. I should know more about you, but I don't know that much about you. And so we will recognize one another in heaven. We look forward to that. That'll be one of the greatest joys there is, to recognize and spend time in fellowship with the Lord, of course, but with some of these great believers down through history, the Abrahams and David and all these great men. In our resurrection bodies, they're real and recognizable. We look forward to that experience. Our bodies, our resurrection bodies, will have an extra dimensional quality. Let's turn our Bibles. We're in John. Let's turn back one page to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among their midst and said, Peace be to you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw him. It seems as he has his ability to move through a wall or lock doors. We don't read that he opened the doors or they opened it. They were surprised when he came into their midst. He seemed that he was able to move through a wall or a door, and he has this extra dimensional quality. And we will have that too. Why we need that ability, I'm not sure, but we'll have that. We will have bodies without limitations. Bodies with great powers, and these will all be part of the resurrection body that we will have. We'll have the ability, it seems, to disappear and reappear and transport ourselves great distances. We read about that in Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. When he was at table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared out of their sight. And then he reappeared a little bit later. This is all part of the resurrection body that the Lord Jesus had, and this will be part of the resurrection body that we will have. There'll be no pain and no tears. Right now, we are subject to pain. Some great pain from diseases that we have. My mother was in hospice in our home for 3 weeks. And in the United States, hospice organization gives you some medications. I had to give my mother every 4 hours morphine. They would give me bottles of morphine, and I had to administer morphine. The pain that she had for 3 weeks was terrible. And in heaven, we'll have no pain. We'll have no tears. It does say in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In the same verse, it says there'll be no more pain, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. It's interesting in this verse, it says there'll be no more tears, or he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then he says in the same verse, there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears. He'll wipe away all tears, and then he says there'll be no tears in heaven. I think there'll be tears initially when we are in heaven. And some have speculated about why that is. Why would there be tears initially in heaven? It may be that there'll be regret. The only thing I can think of, there'll be regret. Won't be any pain. Won't be any suffering. Won't be any death. But I think the only thing that would cause us tears is regret. Maybe regret from those that were not saved. Maybe regret from those that we had opportunities, we didn't take up those opportunities to share the gospel with someone. And we look around, or we see, we recognize, we know they're not in heaven. But he says, you'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Our resurrection bodies are incapable of dying. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 8 through 11, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, Now if we died with Christ, we believe we also live with him. We know that since Christ is raised from the dead, he cannot die again. We will not die again. Because he lives, we will live. Our bodies will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. The perishable will be clothed with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. We will be immortal. We will never die. Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at these resurrection bodies a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning at verse 36. But some will say, how is the body raised up? And with what body did it come? Some speculate that what the question is about is, how can a body be raised? How can a body that has been dead for many, many years and has broken down and has turned into dust, is in the ground, is eaten with worms, how are the dead raised up? How is it possible that they can be raised up? Scoffers sometimes say, how can God resurrect someone from the dead? How is he able to do that? So he says here, some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Do they have a spiritual body? Do they have a physical body? What makes up that body? We read some things already, but what do we know about that resurrection body? Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. If you take a seed and a farmer plants it, that seed breaks down. It disintegrates. It breaks into dust. And that little bit within it somehow, that little seed, that little life principle within that seed, it grows up. And then the writer of 1 Corinthians, he speaks about the resurrection as we being sown. Uses the illustration of last night in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of sleeping. Here uses the illustration of being sown as a seed. Seed that goes into the ground will rise up. We are sown, we will rise up. A seed is sown, it will rise up. He goes on to say, that which you sow, that soweth not the body shall be, but the bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. God gives it a body as is pleased him, to every seed its own body. And then he goes on and speaks about how we will have that same illustration. We will have a body that'll be raised out of the earth or out of the ground. And he goes on to say about this resurrection body. Let's look at this together. Verse 42. In the resurrection, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption. It's a corruptible body that goes into the ground. It's a frail, corruptible body given to illness and sickness and frailty, but it's raised incorruptible. It's raised never to die again. It's raised never to break down, never to be diseased, never to be sick. It's raised in dishonor. The idea of dishonor might be sickness and imperfections. But it says it's raised in glory. It's raised in glory, will have no imperfections. It's raised in weakness. It's sown in weakness, frailty, and age. It's raised in power. Superior power to our present bodies. Now, it's interesting to me as you look at some of these terms that are used. Incorruption, never to die again, but we'll have a form of glory. Our bodies will have glory to them. The same word that's used of the Lord Jesus. We'll have a form of glory to our bodies. We'll have a form of power to our bodies. Sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. It's not a spirit. It's raised a body that is suited to live in heaven for eternity, a spiritual body that can be able to relate and worship and serve and labor for the Lord Jesus and rule and reign with him, that limitations that our human bodies don't have. But I love these phrases: incorruption, glory, power, and a spiritual body. And before us, we are going to have a future glory. And I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about this with you. We'll have bodies like the Lord Jesus. We have bodies of glory. We have bodies of power. We have bodies that can never die. But let's turn to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says, I reckon that in the present sufferings. At this present time, the sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Let's contrast. He says we will have a future glory connected to our existence, to our bodies that we'll have. We have affliction, we have suffering, we go through persecutions, but as we look forward to the future glory that we will have in heaven and in the millennial earth, we will have a certain glory. And he says the glory that we'll have shall not be, that shall be revealed, can't be compared. Can't be compared to the existence that we have now on earth. And then he says in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God when we appear in glory. Now this phrase, the first part of the phrase of verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creation, it personifies creation. And some translators say that the Greek behind this phrase is that creation stands on its tippy toes and cranes its neck looking, waiting for this time to come. This time for us, glorified man, resurrected man, with these new bodies of power and glory, to be revealed to this world, come back with the Lord Jesus in the millennial kingdom to rule and reign with him and to have the manifestation of the sons of men, sons of God. Verse 19. What a great experience that will be. It'll be some sort of great display of glory, and all creation is looking forward to this. Verse 21 says, because the creation itself shall be delivered from bondage of corruption, he says, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's another phrase that he uses. Glorious liberty of the sons of God. Our bodies will be changed, and they'll have power, and they'll have glory, and they will have incorruption. They'll have this glory that shall be revealed, and they have the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We'll not have the bondage and the barriers and the limitations of our old nature and our old bodies. But he says we will have the glorious liberty. Those bodies will have the glorious liberty. We'll have an ability through glory and power and have no limitations that we have now. And then he says in verse 23, not only so, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the indwelling Spirit of God in us now. And in that indwelling Spirit of God, although it is it's called sometimes a down payment, the earnest of the Holy Spirit, we still suffer and we groan and we have afflictions. But he says one day, in the same verse, one day we're awaiting the adoption, that is the redemption of our body. Theologians believe this phrase here speaks about the times our spirit and our souls are joined together with our bodies, with our resurrection bodies, and we have the full redemption, the full adoption process, the full redemption of our bodies when we'll rule and reign with the Lord Jesus on the earth for 1,000 years. Different passages describe it like this. In Matthew 13, verse 43, it says, we shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. That's describing this glory we will have, this future resurrection glory. It's used in poetic terms that we shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. We shall have an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he will bring many sons to glory. You know, sometimes people, you talk to people and you ask them, what will happen when you die? I had a neighbor come over, a friend of our kids, and we were sharing the gospel with them, and they said, my father says we turn to angels, and we live in heaven, and we maybe sit on a cloud and get a harp and get some crowns, and that's what's going to happen for eternity. And they probably watch This Is a Wonderful Life, and you look at Clarence, the angel who got his wings. And I thought to myself, what is more glorious? What is much better? To become an angel. We'll be greater than angels. We'll judge angels. We will have crowns. We will have thrones. We will have robes of righteousness. We'll be heirs and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, and will rule and reign. We'll have thrones around the throne of the Lord Jesus. We'll be closest to the Lord Jesus for all eternity. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation. We'll be kings. We'll be kings, and we'll be priests. We'll serve him. We'll worship him. We'll sing to him. We'll labor for him. We'll judge angels. We'll serve God. We'll be the brides of Christ. We'll have an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ that we can never have today. We'll have an inner understanding of the Lord Jesus that we never could have today. Of an understanding of our salvation that we could never have today. The limitless bodies that we have will enable us to serve him and to worship him and to honor him and glorify him and have fellowship with him and fellowship with others. And I asked Kevin if he would sing that song this evening, because I think it so beautifully describes what we'll be doing in heaven. It says in 1 John 3:3 or 3:2, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. For the first time in these resurrection bodies, these glorified bodies, these unlimited bodies, we'll be able to see the Lord as he is. What will we see? We'll love him as we could never love him ever before. We'll worship him. We'll have a depth of understanding of his sufferings we never had before. We'll have a knowledge that we could never have before. You know, we are only scratching. We worship. We have great worship services, but we are only scratching. We are all paupers scratching the surface. We are just dipping our toes into a vast ocean of what the worship will be like one day in eternity. We'll understand the cross like we never understood it before. We'll know then how much we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will worship. We have no sin nature. We'll have nothing to hinder our worship and our spiritual understanding. And I love this verse in the hymn we began with this evening. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, dressed in glory, not my own, dressed in incorruptible bodies, not our own. When I see thee as thou art, can't even imagine, can't wrap my mind around that. When we see thee as thou art, and I love this part, love thee with unsinning heart, love thee without a sin nature, love thee without the limitations of our body, love the Lord Jesus with unsinning heart. Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. We look forward to that day. We look forward to that day when we can stand around that throne, sit around that throne, on our thrones, or stand before him, cast our crowns before him, and say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Well, say that with knowledge, an inner knowledge, an inner understanding, a love that we never had before. Dressed in beauteous dress, not our own. Maybe falling on our faces like the 24 elders. Every time you see them in heaven, we see them always on their knees, always on their faces. Chapter 5 of Revelation, I know I'm a little bit over time. In Revelation chapter 5, where it speaks about the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels, and then it speaks about the 24 elders who fall on their faces before the Lord. And what I like about that so much is that they don't say anything. It doesn't say that they say anything. I wonder if they're, I'm sure they may say something, but I just wonder if they're in awe and in rapture, or there's something about them when they see the Lord Jesus as he is, they just fall on their knees before him, and they worship quietly or silently before him. What a future we have before us in these resurrection bodies, in these glorified bodies, in these imperishable, immortal bodies, and these bodies that will love the Lord Jesus, know the Lord Jesus as he truly is. Our God and Father, we thank you this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the future that he's given to us, the future glory he's given to us, this future resurrection body he's given to us. And we pray, Father, that you will just lead and guide us and encourage us. And may we worship you for all that we've learned tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.